ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you are good and your mercies endure forever. Lord, we are here trusting you that you will bring us your help. Trusting you, Lord, that there will be grace for us. Oh God, please help us. There's nothing in me that I have to say except you help us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Now, what I will be sharing tonight is very simple. Very, very simple. And I do not hope to make it complex. It's not about Rhema. Ah, oh God, it's about a reality. It's not about saying, It's about a reality. A reality that will cause Islam to wake up. There is too much of assumption in the body of Christ. And it is assumption that prepares the ground for confusion. You see, the reason why a lot of Christians are confused today, they don't even know what it means to be a Christian, is because they just assume that they are fine, they are alright, and they know what they are doing. This assumption is a terrible one for us in the body of Christ. Whatever is outstanding is understanding that makes it so. Whatever is outstanding is understanding that makes it so. When a brother claims to follow Christ, but he has no understanding, his Christian testimony cannot be different. We are truly the light. But this our light has no strength. And the reason why there is no strength to our light is because there is no understanding. Now, can we trust the Lord to reach certain points? I hope all of us can go back to study and listen to some of the things that the Lord helped us to share on Thursday, on Friday, and today makes it the last day. I hope all of us can go and study. You know what I'm praying to God that you should do? Your brother, I've just simply shared some things. Do you know there are deeper things the Holy Spirit is about to share to you, even from those things we have shared? And so that is dependent on how far you can go ahead to go and further meditate. I hope this meeting can produce another meeting. You see, what I'm praying to God for is that when I share things with you and this is the end of the meeting, I'm not happy. But if this meeting can produce another meeting between you and the Holy Spirit, then I'm fulfilled. Then I tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm fulfilled. But if this meeting ends here, Kai, I've wasted my time. So, the finished work of Christ. Profound statement on the cross. He said, I thirst. That was the thirst, you know. Hope you know that. On the cross, he said, I thirst. What did they give him? They gave him vinegar. Otikikuru. Everything Jesus demonstrated on the cross was supposed to be your experience in hellfire. Hope you know, when Jesus Christ was given an instance, he said, there were two men that died. Hope you know that. Please listen. I want you to please listen. Nobody has gone to heaven yet. Go and look at your Bible. There is nobody in heaven yet apart from Jesus. Elijah has not gone to heaven. Moses has not gone to heaven. One of our brothers raised an issue that I really love and that I want to trust that the Lord will use as a prelude for us. I'm sorry I came in a little late. Had to run around, do one or two things. Now, there was something that he raised. I think his name is Brother Taiwo, I guess. He said, salvation is the experience of the finished work of Christ. And he raised a question. He said, have you experienced salvation or you were cajoled to confess him? Oh, that's powerful, sir. Were you cajoled? Were you illogized? Did you answer the altar call because there was no option? You know, my parents are Christians. Let me be Christian. It may look like, why are they saying this thing? Just ask yourself. We are simply asking you, ask yourself. That's all. We are not saying you should do anything much. Just ask. Were you cajoled? Or you have the experience? Now, time will fail me tonight to draw out a lot of scriptural studies, but I will do my best to trust God for it. Now, do you observe that? Now, if you take me as your brother, what I'm sharing with you, by the grace of God, I've studied it. So I will make some statements in passing, but we will open the Bible. But as I make those statements, please go and check. Don't say, we thank God for Brogbinga. Go and open your own Bible and check. We are dealing with holistic disciples here. So, nobody is in heaven yet. The Bible says it's only Jesus who descended that ascended. You know, when he rose up from the dead, he said, I go to your father and my father. Don't cling to me yet, Mary. That tells you that nobody is there yet. When Jesus gave a parable, he said, Lazarus died and rich man died. You remember? He now said, the rich man in Sheol. You see, there are two. You see, Sheol or Gehenna is the place of the dead. Please listen. There is a place called the place of the dead, but it's two compartments. In the place of the dead, you have hellfire. Hellfire is different from lake of fire. Please, Kai, there's no time tonight. Hellfire is different from lake of fire. In Sheol, that means the place of the dead, you have hellfire and you have Abraham's bosom. Are you with me? The Bible says the rich man cried in hell. You see, it's the same abode, the abode of the dead. But those in hell can see those in Abraham's bosom. That's why he said the man in hell cried to Abraham and said, let a water, somebody should put hand inside water to cool my tongue. That was the same task we should experience. The same way that rich man said, I thirst, give me water. That was the task on the cross. Jesus experienced that task so that you will not experience that task anymore. Let me conclude on that. Abraham's bosom is the place where everyone who ever died following the law and following the word of God through Christ, that's where they are going to go and stay. In the book of Thessalonians, the Bible said, when the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Do you confirm that? If the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first, it means nobody has gone to heaven yet. The dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, and we that are left shall be caught up with him in the clouds. Let me look for that scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look at this in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of the Lord, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, verse 17, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That tells you nobody will get to heaven before the other. He said, we that are alive shall be caught up with them to meet with the Lord in the air. So nobody gets to heaven first before the other. You know why? The Lamb who died will present all of us at the same time. He will present all of us. So all the Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, and other servant of God, great men, John Wesley, Charles G. Finney, they will wait for me and you. You can bind spirits and powers. You can't pray against people. You know, and say something like, that woman behind our house, Lord, kill him before he kills me. No. It's not biblical. That witch that is troubling your soul, quote and unquote, hope you know that witch also has a soul. And it is not the will of God that anybody should perish, but that all may come to the knowledge of the truth. Actually, if you understand the cross, you will know no witch can torment you. If you understand the finished work of Christ, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, I say this with all humility. When God showed me what Christ finished, my prayer point changed. You are exaggerating and you enjoy it. You know, God had to deal with me on exaggeration, very seriously. Is something I watch in my life. Because Jesus finished the nature of sin. Brethren, I'm praying that you will get this thing. Okay, my time is up. Okay, let's move on from here. So let's look at the statement of Jesus on the cross. One, I thirst. That's what you and me supposed to experience. Two, Father, forgive them. I'm not saying it chronologically. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That already told you, it's not the Jews that crucified him. Oh, you are not with me. Eh? It's not the Jews that crucified him. Because the language of Jesus showed something. Oh, forgive them. They don't know. They don't know. Okay. These people know what they are doing. Oh. Because if you look at the story, you would think the Jews know what they are doing. They don't. Jesus said they don't know what they are doing. This thing ought to happen. Even if the Jews don't crucify him, I must be crucified because it's an ordination. Lord, forgive them. He was still praying for them. That shows you the essence of the heart of Jesus. That he was not there full of hatred. You know, that draws us a lesson. That when people are doing evil against us, we must still pray for them. When you are a student of the cross, you can't pray against your enemies. When you are a student of the Bible, you can't pray against your enemies. It's not scriptural. How can he come? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is the death you and me are supposed to experience in hellfire and in the lake of fire. Hope you know, according to the book of Revelation, is now those whose name is not found in the book of life, they are the ones that will be cast into the lake of fire. They may be in hellfire before, but they will cast them. Lake of fire is now where the devil will be also be cast and false prophets. Go and look at the book of Revelation. So some people say they see hellfire now and they see demons tormenting people. Hey, that's all right, because Satan is the one in charge of that place. But in the lake of fire, even Satan himself shall be tormented day and night, including false prophet and those whose name was not found. It's a terrible thing not to know Jesus, and it's a terrible thing to be a sinner. Something makes me cry. How can you be a Christian and love to lie? Excuse me, sir. Do you know, before, I can spend time dealing with enemies of my father's house. I can spend time dealing with Ogoto Ogomitayo Fejeko Jade. The Lord now began to ask me, he said, why are you praying as if I didn't finish something? Why are you praying as if I never finished what I came to do? I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, have you studied Colossians chapter 2? Tonight, I'm just asking somebody to go and study. You see, I've been mentioning scriptures now. Will you please help us write it down? Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 3. And see that Jesus finished all principalities and powers, and he put them to a public shame. When I saw Colossians 3 and I saw my Bible says, I disgrace every principalities and power, and I took powers from them, I took rulership from them, I said it is now illegal for any household wickedness to torment Benga. It is now illegal. I said, Lord, he said, that's what I finished. Do you know the meaning of it is finished? It means nothing was left that I did not handle. Now, time will fail me to dig deep into that. Because the matter tonight is, what Christ finished, may you understand it. May you not act as if he never finished it. For the purchasing of our souls was done once. So the presenting of the body of Christ to the Father shall be done once. Not small, small. It's not as if they will present Charles G. Finney first before the Lord. They will now later come and present Pastor E. Adebuyi. They will now later come and present Pastor W. F. Kumi. Jesus is not presenting us differently. He will wait to present all of us together. So nobody is in heaven. Everybody is sleeping. It's either some are in hellfire and the others in Abraham's bosom, paradise, where we call paradise. Now, please listen. Let me correct that a little. Before Jesus died, Abraham, being the father of faith, is the one that the Bible referred to Abraham's bosom. He said he found Lazarus at Abraham's bosom. Hope you know that when Moses died, the devil was fighting for his body. Why? Because Satan had power then in Sheol. In fact, 1 Peter said Jesus had to die and be buried to go and collect power from the grave. Hope you know, he said, death, where is thy power? Grave. Grave, where is thy power? Death, where is thy sting? Jesus entered the grave to release everyone from the captivity of Lucifer. Hope you know, though they were in Abraham's bosom, Satan was the one manning that gate. You know why? The blood of the Lamb has not been offered. Everyone who died did not die knowing Christ. Everyone who had died before Jesus Christ was crucified. Hope you know Abraham wasn't born again. Hope you know Elijah was not born again. Hope you know Elisha, Isaiah was not born again. Jeremiah was not born again. You know, all of them were not born again. They had to be born again. You know why? Nobody that is not born again will get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And through me has to be that I have to die and rise again. And they must believe. That's why the book of Peter said Jesus went and preached the gospel in the grave. I pray the Lord grant you light. Herein lies your confidence. What he finished on the cross, he totally finished. Let me give you this, oh God. Help us, Lord. Brethren, are you following me? Yesterday we talked about redemption. And I hope somebody is going to go further to study. I can only hand you into the hand of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you check my watch tonight, Eric, I'm leaving this point because, and I'm going to another point. The reason is because we are closing today. Let me give you points to go and study. He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. He said, I tasked. He said, on the cross, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That's the kind of experience we should have had in hellfire, whereby we are totally forsaken by God. And in the lake of fire. And then what else did he say? He said he handed over his mother to John. I hope we could trash that, but there's no time for that. And then from there, because all these things has to do with our salvation. That's the issue when the time is not there. Even the handing over of his mom to John, it has a significance to your experience in salvation. Hope you know Jesus was demonstrating there that a man that is saved has no more affinity with his family. That's the meaning of it. He told Mary, look at your son. Son, behold your mother. I didn't see Jesus say, my mommy. You know, whenever you experience salvation, what holds is the family of Christ, not your biological family. It is where, you know, the blood that exists, you know, the relationship between Christians is stronger than the relationship between you and your mother. When you come to Christ, you lose your biological family to gain the spiritual family. That's why the Bible says, do good, especially to the household of faith. I can't spend time on that. Salvation is the total abandonment of earthly family to the family of God. It is only when your father, your mother, your siblings become saved that they join that family. Oh Lord, I pray that this will be clear. Do you remember the time that they came to call Jesus? They said, Jesus, your mother and your family, they are outside. What did Jesus say? He said, who is my mother? He said, this is my mother and my brothers and my sisters. These that hear the word of God and do the will of God. Imagine that Jesus' mom was outside. Jesus refused to go. That's what we are dealing with. He said on the cross, it is finished. That is one of the most powerful statements ever. Now, is there anybody in this group that is still struggling? If you have particular issues, maybe you private chat me. Because salvation is not a topic. It's an experience. What Christ came to do is a reality that puts the devil under your feet permanently. Because when Jesus said it is finished, Satan was finished. Sickness was finished. A good delay was finished. So many things you can ever think of, it was finished. Because that's why Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It is finished. There's something that the Lord will have me draw quickly. And I speak on justification, sanctification, and righteousness, and I close. Let us do a simple similitude. Comparison. Do you know that in Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But look at verse 2. The earth was void and darkness covered the face of the deep. Have you ever thought about something? How can Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, how can God create heavens and the earth? And verse 2 now says, the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. But verse 1 says, God created the heavens and the earth. Does that mean it was God who created earth void? No. He cannot. Then he said he created the heavens and the earth. They didn't say heaven has problem, but they now say earth has problem. That tells you. Now, that also should make you ask a question. When was the devil sent down from heaven? The devil was sent down between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis. The earth was void. You know, how can God make... You know what another translation said? It said the earth was formless. The earth has no form. How can God create and it is void? No. Hope you know the Bible says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What's the deep? Waters. Hope you know when the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth, they say there was water on the earth. So that tells you something. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, when God began the reordering, restructuring, hope you know he didn't create water again. Because Bible already said water was already on the face of the deep. That tells you that, and according to Psalms, God is the one that created water. When God was speaking to Job, he said to Job, come up now, I want to ask you some questions. Who created the waters? Who created the universe? So God created water. But in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, Bible never recorded the creation of water. He only recorded the existence of water and the darkness upon the face of the deep. That tells you that between verse 1 and verse 2, Satan has been set down. And that tells you that something happened on the earth that was created that led to that darkness. Do you understand what I'm dealing with? Something caused that darkness of verse 2 of Genesis. That darkness was a trouble, a problem. When God now saw this, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. So after that darkness, there was light. And it was that light. Hope you know when God said, let there be light. Hope you know that light is different from sunlight. Because later in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you will find out that God created the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. So there is light different from sunlight. That light has a spiritual connotation, and that is John chapter 1, verse 1. Read on from verse 1. You see, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, in Him was life, the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That light is Christ, symbolically, prophetically. Now, take note of this. Why am I going back? Listen, it was the darkness of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Was a darkness that was a symbol of confusion. But God wanted to start a new era. He said, first, let there be light. How many of you also discovered that when Jesus was on the cross, you know, after Adam fell, hope you know, men entered into darkness again, confusion. Take note that God, when He asked Jesus to be sent, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says there was darkness in all the earth for 3 hours. That darkness was the close of an age. And once the darkness left, it was the opening of a new era. When that darkness was upon the earth, there was earthquake. The Bible says the clothes of the temple tore into two. The darkness closed an era. The darkness closed an age. And there was the opening of the new race. It is the race of those who believes in Christ. That's why I said it is an experience. It is not a topic. When Jesus was on the cross, take note, He was judged in your place. That judgment was your forgiveness. I told you yesterday that forgiveness is not free. Grace is not free. To you it is free, but to the one who paid it is not free. It cost Him something. Take note that Jesus is the beginning of the new race. When He died, He said it is finished. After that, He was buried. Hope you know, immediately Jesus gave up the ghost, the case of Satan and sin ended. Oh Lord, help us. Now, let me open this scripture because we need to understand this thing. Will you please turn your Bible now to Colossians? In Colossians chapter number 2. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse number 14. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I ask everybody to go and study the book of Colossians from chapter 1 to the last chapter? But place emphasis on chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's powerful. In verse 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Oh, verse 15. having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 15 established that Jesus spoiled, came to more spoiled, over their patapata, he destroyed. And that translation said he destroyed. He spoiled principalities and powers. He now made a public show of them. Hi. The principalities and powers lost their relevance when Jesus was on the cross. Now, take note of the first one. Now, look at the second one in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Look at verse 14. Hallelujah. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that's Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, through death, that's Jesus, so that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Excuse me. How did, according to the Bible, Hebrews 2:14, how did Jesus destroy the devil? Through death. Where did he die? On the cross. Listen, Jesus is in your Bible. Somebody say, but why is Satan now still doing what he's doing? That may be for another day. Because I don't want to leave this point before I close. It is through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, where did Jesus settle the case of principalities and powers and the devil? On the cross. Hope you know what he went to collect from the grave. He went there to release those who have been in captivity as a result of the fall of Adam. He went there as the last Adam and say, I have now collected all authority. All of you are therefore released. Released from the chain of Satan. Released, qualified for heaven. Do you know that after Jesus was buried, it has nothing to do with the devil? When Jesus rose from the dead, it has nothing to do with the devil. When he ascended, it has nothing to do with the devil. Do you know from burial to ascension, it has everything to do with you and I? That is where justification, sanctification, and righteousness came from. The death dealt with the prince of this world, that's the devil. The cross crushed the affinity between you and the world. The cross crushed the tyranny, the bondage, the work of the devil. But when Jesus was buried, he went there to release those who have been kept there and who had no access to heaven, including Elijah, Elisha, and Abraham. They were all there. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 says, go and read Hebrews 11. He said that they without us may not be made perfect. In your Bible. All those who have died in faith, you know, in Hebrews 11, he said, by faith Abraham, by faith Abel, by faith, go and read further Hebrews 11. He now said, towards the last verse of Hebrews, he now said, but all this, they walked by faith, but they didn't obtain the promise. That they without us cannot be made perfect until Christ came. They are not perfected yet. And until the second coming of Christ, they will not be glorified yet. What a truth. That Abraham will not wait for me to get to heaven before me. We will get there together. All of us will see the Father at once. This is the power of the finished work of Christ. So death settled the devil. But do you know your justification was because of his resurrection? What makes you a Christian? It's not the death. If Jesus had died and he did not rise, you will not yet be a Christian. The rising from the dead is what stamped that you are now the new man authorized to dominate the devil. Oh, Lord Jesus. Take note, when he rose, the nail print did not clean off. Because the nail print is the receipt that you must show the Father that I have dealt with the devil and I've dealt with sin and I've conquered. Eh? Oh Lord, help us. Oh God, please help us. I close with this. It was, you know what it means to be justified? Is to have no record of iniquity. Justification means, justified means, just as if I never did it. Justified. When he rose, he went to the Father to represent you. Oh God, help us. I discover, according to 1 John chapter 3, you can't understand the finished work of Christ and love to commit sin. Oh, possible. When you understand this important to your work as a Christian, you can't know the worth of his costs and commit sin easily. Let me quickly digress and say, forgiveness is not for acts. Forgiveness of the cross is nature. You know, I have had people say, you miss the point. What he forgive is not lying, fighting. What he forgave is the nature of rebellion. See, listen to forgiveness. Give me two more forgiveness according to what Christ did. Forgiveness is not, Lord, forgive me. No. I'm coming to 1 John 1:9. That's why this time is not there. Forgiveness is that, since all of you are under debt, for the wages of sin is debt, I will ask somebody to taste debt for all of you. As a result of tasting that punishment, you are forgiven. It is that forgiveness that can now make God to relate with you as a father and me. Do you understand? For those of you who don't understand Yoruba, it's not possible to think deeply on the cross and make jest of his name and love pornography and love African magic and praise the works of the flesh. Brother, sisters, you need to think deeply. You see that we could not exhaust it. What established your justification is his resurrection. What established your sanctification is the shedding of the blood. You see, because if there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And if you go back to Hebrews, you will find out that after Moses raised up the tabernacle, everything before they accepted as a vessel, the golden censer, the cup of washing, Aaron, everybody in the Old Testament under that tabernacle, for them, you know what is sanctification? Sanctification is set apart. For everything Moses made or Bezalel made according to the dictate of Moses, for them to be acceptable, blood must touch them. It's found in the book of Hebrews. Until blood has touched them, God said to Moses, they are not accepted. You must sanctify them with blood. That means set them apart. The blood of Jesus is an everlasting blood. That blood is not a blood we just say it was shed on the cross. That blood still speaks today. It is because of the shed blood that God now says, I sanctify Benga. What sanctify? I set him apart for my use. So, if we are talking about the finished work of Christ, we are dealing with the following. One is blood. Two is death. Three is burial. Four is resurrection. Five is ascension. 6 is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And 7 is second coming. These are the ingredients of the finished work of Christ. And you see, if we need to now take it one by one, the time is not there. So can I ask you to go and further study? Many of these scriptures have come. That's why our theme text, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, now says, it is of God we were made to be put in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah! Oh God, I want to pray for my brethren. Lord, even this little I've done tonight, I'm only sharing, hoping that it will be deep in their hearts. That what you finished on the cross is what turns us to be sons of God. We are no more candidate of hellfire. Ah! Because of what you finished. We have been delivered from the wrath that is to come. We don't even need to be afraid of rapture because you finished it. Your resurrection established our sonship and our names written in the book of life. We pray that none of us will treat this thing lightly and walk away from this truth. Lord, this way I can only stop. I ask that you will help my brethren to go and further study. In Jesus' name. Brethren, I can only drop my pen here and commit you into the hands of the Holy Spirit. That when Christ finished it, nothing was remaining. And unless your faith focuses on what he did, your struggle continues. God bless you and good night. You and good night. You and good night. You and good night. You and good night.